Report.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I
ball gonna bounce down, it's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday night, 8 p.m., a little time-delayed episode of The Unused Substitutes. We're live on Radio St. Pete. We're part of the Beautiful Game Network, and we are sponsored by Roughneck Scars. My name is Matt, and on the other end of the microphone, back from parts unknown, is a guy that the National Enquirer has no pictures of, apparently, yet. Dan, how you doing?
I mean, they might. I did get pretty drunk this week.
Have you read that story?
I've just seen. I haven't actually read the story, but I know what's going on there.
I mean, there's no coincidence that the headline is "No thanks, Mr. Pecker."
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Which I mean, literally, I was going to. That was going to be the title of tonight's episode. In an unrelated coincidence.
I just.
You had to think about it for a second whether I was telling the truth.
I'm amazed that, like, it's 2019 and people care. Like, I mean, somebody just saw it on, I tweeted it out too, but, like, we're getting to the point where leaking nudes is going to be like, yeah, so what?
Like, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know, so just move on. Screw it.
I mean, I'm going to put mine in the show notes.
I mean, I don't look at them anyway.
if you've managed to make it through a whole episode, you've got bigger problems than seeing pictures of me in compromising positions, I suppose. But we got plenty of other stuff to talk about. Let's escape from the sad reality that is the dumpster fire that is well everything. So let's kick back. You might be recovering, but I'm going to crack a can, and let's talk some news. First off, though, I told you I had a little something to tell you, and this is one of those things where, like, we talked about it for a couple minutes and like script of this. You have no idea what I'm about to say.
No, none whatsoever.
Which is usually the way this kind of, like, the most of the show happens anyway. But I got to tell you, the new scars are damn nice.
I am so glad they're in, and just in time for next week's preseason game, we can start doing the thing.
I'm wearing them. I've got one around my neck right now. Tracking said it wasn't going to show up till tomorrow, but they got them the hell out of Cincinnati as fast as possible, and I appreciate that.
I mean, I would do the same.
Like, they because before they used to, when we ordered these before, they shipped from Portugal, but this time they came out of Leeds. And the same thing when Pendleton said something about it the other day on Twitter, the only thing I saw in my brain or heard in my brain, whatever, when I read that was Michael Sheen in Damned United when they draw Leeds at the beginning. And he's like, Leeds! It just jumped out. It didn't help that it was all capitals either.
I mean, that's the only way to, like, spell Leeds and say Leeds at this point.
All right, so I'll talk about this some more in a little. Let me see if I can find this here. Actually, I want to throw it out before we get there. So yeah, I will have them at let's see, not the DC United preseason game on the 16th. I'm still going to be in Orlando at that point, unless we somehow manage to figure out a way to get together in the next like 9-10 days to do it. But I will have them at the February 20th games, the Wednesday night one versus Montreal. And then we might have another time and date to pick things up in St. Pete before the end of February. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too. And if you guys are down in Sarasota, if you've pre-ordered or if you want to pick one up, just give me a shout and we can make arrangements. But Dan, we got a ton of stuff to talk about. So we pushed back a day, number one, because when you're a teacher, you tend to get ill from kids a lot, and my voice was not at its peak last night. Really isn't doing that great right now. And you were number one on the way, still on the way back from Orlando and still recovering in various ways from your experience there, because Orlando has that effect on people. So we decided to push back, and plus the announcements have been coming kind of, well, you could say fast and furious, out of Rowdy's headquarters. Not even a groan there.
Nope. Not acknowledging it.
The announcements had been coming pretty quick with the full preseason schedule, players being signed, players arriving on loan. We've got there's still a couple pieces I think that they need to add, but we've got the foundation of a pretty good roster. You want to start breaking down those guys and talking about them, and we'll go from there?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
Sorry. All right. So, we'll get these ones out of the way really quick. We had talked about this, a couple weeks ago, and we're waiting for confirmation. But we do have a goalkeeper. Now we have two, but we'll get to the one we talked about was John McCarthy coming over from Philadelphia Union, coming over from Bethlehem Steel. A little bit about him. He made his professional debut in USL in 2014 with the Rochester Rhinos. Was goalkeeper of the year and rookie of the year, 10 clean sheets in 19 matches. His coach, and we talked about it, I think we talked about this when we mentioned him before, his coach in Philly said he's MLS quality. Like, there's 5 or 6 teams in MLS he could be starting for right now. So this sounds like, or seems like, a decent pickup by the Rowdies for this year.
Yeah. I personally have said I appreciate the roster they have built so far, and it's starting from the back up. So it's just exciting to see where these guys are all going to play, how we're going to fit in. But I'm trying to temper my optimism here a little bit, but we'll see as we continue to go. I'm just scrolling through the roster right now. Like, we have 6 forwards. That's a lot.
We've got 6 defenders now, I think, too.
Yes.
6 or 7 midfielders. Like, it's a pretty well-distributed balance. But another guy, well, 2 other guys, really, that we talked about either on air or online were Andrew Tenari coming over from New York Red Bull, because we've got to have at least one this year. Midfielder, you like almost everything about him except
the fact that he's a Rangers fan. At least the Rangers are at the bottom, well, close to the bottom of their division, as the Islanders are playing the Devils right now, you know, the actual only other good team up there.
Well, hopefully that'll be the only thing that we have to complain about this year, will be their hockey likes. And then one of the players been mentioned earlier, Lee Cohen mentioned it to Jake in an interview, that we were going to be getting 2 players on loan from the English Championship. One was announced the day after the Norwich partnership was announced. We had seen this reported on Twitter a couple places. Let me find it here, because I want to find the information. How young is he again? It's here we go. Caleb Richards, a 20-year-old. He plays left back, doesn't he?
Yes.
20-year-old left back from Norwich City, has been in their system, in their youth system for a while, has been on loan with FC United of Manchester. So, like, tons of experience in green and yellow, at least, because that's their colors. And coming to Tampa Bay to play near the Glazers after playing for a team started to protest the Glazers is a neat little coincidence, I guess. But he's come over here. He's had 12 Premier League 2 matches for Norwich U23s before his move to Manchester. They put out a neat little video about him. And sometimes with loan players, like, it's, you know, hey, like, look at Chelsea, for example. It's, we've got, you know, 35 guys on the roster. We need to farm some out, some places to, you know, maybe try and sell him off. But they re-signed him to a new contract before the loan move was completed. So this is obviously a kid they still have plans for, hopes for in the future. So, you know, it's not like you're getting someone's cast off from the academy, but you're getting someone who they seem to think has a future in their system. And Norwich right now is top of the championship, automatic promotion places for the Premier League. Like, that's a pretty good spot to be. Like, if you're getting kids from a club like that, that's a pretty good endorsement of them, I would think.
This partnership is looks good already. Young kid coming over here, like you said, they re-signed him to a deal. So you're not going to do that, especially with your prospects of going to the Premier League. So looking really good right now. Obviously, he's a talent they want to keep while they move forward. And if he can, you know, show some of the signs of why here, we'll be in for a treat, especially on, you know, as a defender and as an outside back like that. If off the top of my head, if Neil goes to a 3-5-2, that means his kid can attack. He's probably got some pace. I need to see more of him and see what's going on. But obviously, I mean, looking at Naj on the right, like, that's kind of what Neil Collins wants. And so I would assume so. Going forward here, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and they, you know, you're talking about possible formations. They also mentioned he's also played as a left wing back before, so getting forward, and you assume he's got some level of pace to do that. It seems really like, you know, we've got a lot of options, at least when it comes to different formations or different ways that they could play this year. So that's another one we had mentioned that they've finally confirmed. And now we're going to get into like the ones where, like, these are the names we had not heard at all. In some cases, never heard of, or at least not heard as coming here. So number one is a Florida native, a guy out of South Florida from the Miramar area named Sean Barry. Barry's 28, has played with the Puerto Rican national team, has spent time in Europe, played in Poland and Germany, played in MLS last year with Real Salt Lake, and played a match for the Real Monarchs as well. What are your thoughts on him?
Another defender, got some good experience under his belt. It looks like we have some solid center backs. If he's, you know, applied his trade a bit overseas and in MLS. Real Salt Lake, aren't they coached by Petke?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's got experience under some, probably my favorite coach in MLS. I like it. We finally seem like we have defenders, and that back line seems pretty solid.
I'm just going to assume this is Luke Mulholland just sending guys our way, because, you know, he's looking out for us.
Hopefully.
All right, there's four others. I'll let you handle introducing some of them, and I'll throw some of my weird random ideas out about them.
Sounds good.
You don't even have, like, the list, do you? We didn't do that part, did
nope.
we?
Nope. I'm just doing this on the fly.
So you want me to just run through the rest of them?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Another forward, Jamie Siage. I think I'm pronouncing that right. We saw him play, what, 2 years ago? Was it 2 or 3 years ago?
Wolfsburg was here.
He spent a year in Oklahoma City and a year in Charlotte. 2 years ago, because the year he went to Charlotte, he was one of the trialists with the Rowdies in the Open Cup. Not Open Cup, Florida Cup. I liked him. I thought he was a guy, obviously wasn't a finished product at the time, but he played in the games against Wolfsburg and Atletico Mineiro in the 2017 Florida Cup. Usually plays kind of in a wide attacking position, so you know, somewhere in the spot that they would sometimes try and wedge Georgie before. But 8 goals, 42 appearances. Young guy. He's still, early 20s, 23. But I remember liking seeing the effort, that I saw from him in those two preseason games, and I was kind of hoping that he might make the final roster as possibly like a younger project. But it wasn't the way we were running the roster at the time. So I'm glad to see him back. He's played three matches for Jordan's national team, has an international goal against Cyprus. So this seems like a young kid that has a lot of talent and still has some room to develop too.
Yes. I remember bits and pieces of seeing him back then. My memory is foggy from 2 years ago, but now that you mentioned the games, I remember him being impressed, having actual wide forwards, like, because that goes to show we can probably play like a 4-3-3, like, you know, we've been apt to do here, or we can go 3-5-2. I don't know. We'll get into that a little later, I guess, but excuse me. We're signing quality players and versatile players, and you know, look, I'm not saying we're going to win the league or, you know, that this, that, or the other, but we're building a foundation of types of players and building, you know, we're seeing what Neil's vision is so far in this roster, and now we just have to see them play, like, get preseason underway.
Yeah, and Neil mentions in the article too that they don't think he's played his best position. They kind of see him maybe in a playing up top as a with I guess in like a 4-4-2 as a two forward line, but that he's shown he can play from a wide position. So it'll be interesting to see how these get used. I mean, there's, you know, like, I think that's the third or fourth possible formation we've just mentioned in the last few minutes. So he looks like he's got some potential as well. I'm excited to see him play. I hope he is as good as or can be as good as I think he's shown in the past. Next up, this is our other international loanee, Jordan Doherty, coming over from Sheffield United from one of Neil's old clubs. Had been playing with the Sheffield U18s this season. Is the first player born in the year 2000 to play for the Rowdies. He's a defensive-minded player that is projected to play as a holding mid, though he can also be an option at center back. So it almost sounds like it's our new Swiss Army knife player.
Could be. I mean, it's good to have good backup for Dominic Aduro going forward. If anything, God forbid, happens to him, please don't save him. He's, you know, King Aduro here. But it's good to have some backup there. Obviously, he's pretty young, but excited to see what he brings to the table.
Real young. I think right now, I think he's probably the youngest kid on the roster. An 18-year-old, plays for the Ireland U19s, has 5 caps, 1 goal in a couple matches over the last 2 years. I mean, you're starting to actually. I mean, they've talked about it, and we've kind of talked about the possibility. But you're starting to see really some guys bringing in that they are looking at, not just for what they have done but for what they think they can get them to do, how they think they can develop them. So that brings us to the next player who kind of fits in that same mold. We haven't gotten a full pronunciation guide in these guys yet, so we might be messing this up. International defender Mohamed Kone, or it might be Kone, we're not 100% sure. 25-year-old, 6'3" center back, plays internationally for Burkina Faso. Has played in the Belarusian Premier League. Has played in Moldova, Cyprus, Uzbekistan, as well as Belarus. I don't know what the scouting network or the scouting setup is now, but they're definitely getting their eyes in some places that we haven't necessarily gone before.
This one, I mean, this isn't an insult to the player because I absolutely know nothing about him, but that's the problem. I know nothing about him. So, I mean, it's cool that, like, we're able to hopefully find some talent, but I can't analyze this. I mean, on paper, a 6'2" center back will be nice at 25, which is a good age. But I believe he was the one that in the press release that Neil said he likes what he brings and what his, like, pretty much his potential.
Yeah, he's someone that I think we can improve, and a player that will really suit the system we want to play.
Exactly. Yeah, and those things like that are telling because, yeah, cool. It's you get some stars in from this, that, and the other, and they're the aging ones, but they're probably, and I don't know, Joe Cole is probably coachable, but at a certain point, you know, Joe Cole's going to do Joe Cole. You know, Marcel Schaefer's going to do Marcel, which is fine. I mean, those players in the USL have earned the right pretty much to, you know, lead the charge on the field. But getting players that Neil thinks that he can coach, he can change, he can improve, and that'll play his system is important. You know, we see it when players buy in, everybody's successful. And, you know, look at Yvonne last year. You know, Neil moves to the coaching role, puts Yvonne in, and next thing you know, until that unfortunate incident, was a solid center back. Like Neil, you know, it's his position. So I would like to. I'm interested to see how this plays out. But again, I have no background knowledge on this guy.
No, and this is going to sound kind of bad when I say it, but I'm going to explain it. Like when this signing was announced, I thought, okay, this probably means that we're not going to see Diakite returning this year. Not just because it's another African center back, but you've got your tall center back like that spot filled. But then it's popped up in places that he's been spotted in some of the players' Snapchats and videos from training. So not sure if he's in there as a trialist, if he's in there and it's just not announced yet, or what the deal is. We'll have to keep our ears out and our eyes on the videos where we get a lot of information from sometimes, or a lot of leads at least. Now I just had the leads thing in my head again. And see what happens. Like I guess the door's not completely shut. And the other thing I was just kind of thinking of, we were talking about how they're kind of scouting and digging up some of these international players in areas that we haven't seen or paid a lot of attention to. You know, there's been talk publicly and we've heard it in, you know, other sources before about a scouting trip to Argentina, and we haven't seen any Argentinian players announced yet. So I don't know whether it was they were scouting specifically Argentine players, or were they having some sort of international combine where other players were, you know, players from all over had kind of made their appearance there. You know, we don't know if these guys are a result from that or a result from other scouting outlets. So when we get to the regular roster, we'll take a look and see what we think is left and where you might see some other guys come from. The last player on the list is, and I guess we have to mention this since we're going to say the name on air anyway. We finally learned the destination for Yakin for this year, and he's gone to Dan. I can't say it. You gotta say it.
I'm pretty sure it's banned by the FCC.
Yakin has signed with the New York Cosmos. It sounds even worse when you say it out loud.
I mean, to be fair, there. I mean, and this isn't a shot at Yak, but it's the Cosmos, man. Like, does anybody care? Like, nobody cares about the Cosmos anymore. Like, I feel bad that a player of Yak's caliber and the class that man exudes is going to be in front of like six people in Brooklyn.
I will say, you know,
are they still in Brooklyn?
I'm not sure where they're. I don't think so. They're not. I mean, I don't know. To Cosmos, who cares?
Exactly.
I took it very hard at first, but then I realized. I think I got a grasp on this situation. So if you're still trying to figure this one out, or figure out how to come to terms with this, and still wish him well and wish him a successful year. I mean, obviously, before he came here, he had a big year, or at least a couple big years in Rochester. And with Rochester still on hiatus, he kind of went to the next best available thing, stepped down a level and went to the Cosmos, playing in the NPSL Pro. And I'm kind of taking jokey shots at the Cosmos. No offense to Yakin at all. But I mean, obviously, you know, if you make a move and it doesn't work out the way you want to, it's kind of, you know, natural instinct to maybe maybe go back to the scene of previous successes. So, you know, best wishes to him. I guarantee you he's going to be the fan favorite player. I know they brought back some of their guys from NASL days, but I think Yach's going to have a good year, and I think that the guys up there, the New York supporters, are going to love him.
I mean, how could they not, right? Like, how could they not? It's just sad that he's back while he's with them. But it is what it is. I'm glad he's playing, and hopefully he gets his feet back under him and scores some goals. The NPSL is meh to me, so it's very, it's not even, it's, is it, are they the Cosmos again, or are they Cosmos B still?
No, I think they're full-on Cosmos now, which of course this means, and I, you know, had thought about this too, then I guess NPSL Pro has been sanctioned as Division 2, because, you know, Rocco swore they'd never play anywhere that wasn't Division 2.
Yeah, that's really working out for him.
But I am tempted to, I want to see when their schedule comes out, when they travel to Chattanooga, possibly going up to pay a visit to my investment, our investment, and maybe try and visit Yach as well. Honestly, best wishes to the guy. Hopefully we see him again at Al Lang sometime in the future, just not in the Cosmos shirt.
Well, I don't think we'll ever be playing the Cosmos again.
There's Open Cup or something, who knows? But getting to, speaking of Cosmos B, we have a guy who I assume is going to be the second string or the reserve goalkeeper. Macklin Robinson signed with Tampa Bay Rowdies ahead of the 2019 USL Championship season. 24 years old, turned professional with North Carolina FC in 2016. Made his professional debut a year later on loan with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, made one appearance for Pittsburgh. Returned to North Carolina, played in 5 matches for them, including 2 clean sheets. Made 4 appearances in 2018 with Cosmos B. He's coming off of, I believe, an ACL surgery, an ACL like injury, like rehab. But Neil even said here, and it's something that we had talked about, you know, a couple times last year when Neil came in. He's got good size, can play the ball with his feet, which is important for how we want to play. More than at any other position in the team, it's really important to have competition at the goalkeeper position. You know, it's going to push him to get better physically and you know, in form as well too. And hopefully it's going to help keep our new goalkeeper at a high level.
I mean, I'll be very impressed if Macklin can challenge Lord Helmet.
The other thing, I remember seeing this on Twitter a couple years ago, and then I didn't remember it was McCarthy until someone else mentioned it. He's big on the fruit snacks. Do you remember that from a couple years ago?
No. What internet circles are you in?
I know this was on Twitter. Like, yeah, I don't know if was making a switch or had gotten signed or something, but apparently he's a real big fruit snack fan. So we got to have to maybe come up with some green and gold fruit snacks for him.
Are you just gonna make fruit snacks in your garage? How are you gonna? What are you doing?
No, you just go buy a couple boxes and open them up and just, you know, mix the green and gold ones together and give them to him.
That's a little. Give weird, him a little. Man.
We'll give him a little bag for the game. Tell them they're lucky that they have no. PEDs injected into them or anything, and there you go. Or we could make our own. You know, we're always looking, considering new merchandise possibilities. Could have some Unsubs fruit snacks.
I'm not down with this. I'm not down with this.
Well, I shouldn't tell you that they're already in production then, huh?
Nope, I don't want anything to do with that.
And I managed to link them to a kind of a sponsorship tie-in. Green, of course, being the color of the traffic light that tells you to go. These are and yellow is kind of, you know, you're getting near that danger zone a little bit. So these are going to be the Unsubs Fast and Furious fruit snacks.
Let me tell you something here. Never mind. I can't say that. This is way too wrong. And I was something about going up in flames, and that's all I'm going to say.
Oh. All right. So that is for now the end of the roster signings. Roster currently stands. My mouse is going crazy over here. I'm trying to scroll down. Roster currently stands at 21 players. We've got 2 goalkeepers, 6 defenders, 7 midfielders, and 6 forwards. In your opinion, like how much bigger is the roster going to be? Where else would you? I mean, obviously, maybe a third goalkeeper. What else? Where else would you want to see more additions at?
I think we probably. Let me get back to the roster page here. I had it open, but I'm surprised we're carrying 6 strikers. That just seems a little excessive, but. I mean, they each seem to bring something else to the table, so I'm excited for that. Midfield, let's see. It looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A lot of these midfielders kind of play the same position, so unless they're going to be able to roam a little bit more free, it'll be fine. But I think we should probably get, well, we've got 3 center backs on the roster, and I think we might want some like left back help, right? Because we might want like outside back help. We only have Richards and Naj on the right. Like Barry, Felix, Cohn, Murat, and are all center backs. And then if you have Diakite hanging out, that's 5 center backs. So maybe one or two more outside backs. Unless Neil's just like, screw it, we're just going to play like 6 center backs across the back. I think that's really it, and maybe a midfielder or two, just another not central midfielder. And so I think it's mostly I would want some, depth for our left and right backs is where I would go. I don't think we'd see more than, what are we at, 21, maybe 22, 23. So we might see 1 or 2 more signings, maybe 3. I don't see us going over 24 people, like 24 players.
That was going to be, because what the roster limit is 20, I mean 30, if I'm correct, in USL. And we kind of played more on the lower end, like, 23, 22 in some cases last year, in previous years. I was kind of curious to see, like, with Neil taking over, if you think, especially him having been on, and now anyone would realize it or have experienced it, whether it's coaching, whether it's fans, whether it's the players. But, man, we have had some injuries in the last few years, and I kind of wonder if he's going to go with some depth just to be safe, if he's loading up a little bit so that he can rotate for, when the Open Cup comes around, because I think USL teams are actually hopping in a year earlier than, or a round earlier than before. Or if he's planning to, kind of make a serious run at the Open Cup by stocking up on some of these younger players for some of the earlier rounds too. I don't know.
I think we have this conversation every year, and I think that I don't know if you build a roster just for an Open Cup run, but I think, 6, it's confusing. Excuse me. I think it's more, in my opinion, and I know nothing here, this is just a guess, it seems he's built 2 or 3 different rosters so he can interchange styles as needed.
Right.
And I mean, for the last couple of years, we've been harping on not having a plan B or players to institute a plan B. And now we can have plan A and plan B and possibly plan C. And even though you only still get 3 subs in a game, you can still make 1 or 2 changes with personnel here. You can change the entire shape and style of this team. And I wonder if that's something he's, Neil's thinking about, also keeping an eye on the injuries. Last year, 1 or 2 key injuries and our entire team, fell apart.
Yeah. And something else you were talking about, some of the guys in midfield playing the same position. Someone put out there yesterday on Twitter when they threw the red lights up there, asking about, maybe getting a quality number 10. And then Mike from the communications department pointed out they've got right now. Have we figured out how to say Hoppin? Is it Hoppin' Not or Hoppin' No? Do we know yet?
I'm pretty sure it's no.
Okay. Wait, no as in we don't know, or no as in it's Hoppin' No?
Hoppin' No.
Okay. I'm going to go with that anyway. Hoppin' No, Tenari. I'm mixing up Steinberger and Tenari there. Tenari, sorry, guys. Steinberger and Poku have all played that number 10 role. Hoppin' No has 17 goals and 19 assists in the last 2 years playing as a 10. So we've got a lot of guys that can cover different positions, whether it's defender, midfield, or, you know, talking about having forwards that they envision up front but can play out wide. Yeah, it seems like it's, you know, I don't know, like we've put together or are putting together kind of a Voltron of a soccer team here.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, flexibility is very good, and guys, versatile guys, and that means they could also have a little bit more of a fluid attack, right? Like, the Rowdies forever have been rigid, go up the wings, cross the ball, go up the wings, cross the ball. Nobody would make runs, and I'm assuming with the forwards we have, there'll be more runs made, and we seem to have guys that will actually be able to create something. I mean, it was Steinberger. He played in Indy, right? And the one thing people said about him is he can make the runs forward and can definitely pick out the guys that he needs to. And we know Leo. I mean, Leo Fernandez on the wing is he causes problems for opponents. You know, and Poku, when Poku's on his game, I mean, do we have a quality 10?
It's just, yeah, he was, and I don't know if you saw the article, one of the USL staffers, I think it was Nick Murray actually, wrote an article this week about like kind of the top 10 players who kind of have something to prove this year. And Poku was one of the guys on the list, you know, after the expectations that were thrown out there by supporters, by the league, by whatever. When he came in last year, and then, you know, still kind of a quiet contribution, one goal maybe, and then failing to make the playoffs, like, he's definitely got something to try and prove going forward.
You hope so, right? Like, I mean, he played so well in so many other places, in what, Miami, a couple games in New York. And that's the Poku we expect. And from what I heard, he was really impressive in training, things like that. And it just, I mean, maybe it was just the mojo of last year, that funk that surrounded the Rowdies. He just couldn't get it going. So maybe a full preseason with us, and new guys around him that he's been training with through all preseason. Maybe we can see the best Poku, and we'll have a solid number 10.
And I also kind of wondering that, going back to what we were talking about, you know, the factors that go into building the roster. And I agree, like, you don't build it just because of the Open Cup, but I think that maybe some of these guys are, that's possibly a consideration is with them. But you've also got some guys like Sean Barry was in MLS last year. McCarthy is said by Philly's head coach to be like at an MLS level right now. When we re-signed Murad, Neil said he was surprised that he was here, 'cause he's still looking for, you know, opportunities internationally. Domoduro posted about how he's trying to get back to, England, to at least a championship within the next 2 years. And then guys like Poku, who if he's performing at his peak level, like, you've got guys on the roster who might draw eyes from either MLS clubs or possibly international clubs. I wonder if one of the, you know, at least to provide some coverage if it happens down the road, is to have some other guys in these positions, knowing that, you know, hopefully some of these guys might play their way into. They're not hoping, but assuming that some of these guys play well enough that they might garner some interest and might be some moves during the year.
I hope not. I don't want to lose these quality guys, but for their sake, I mean, yeah. Obviously, I don't think they want to stay in USL. Obviously, not for any other reason than, you know, more money probably up in MLS and in the top flights. but I would like for them to stay. I don't want to go through a Damian Lowe again.
No, but I hadn't really thought that one for, because I was going to say the last time we'd sold a really influential player during the season was Tsuyoshi Yoshitake, and we went on to win the championship that year. So,
and then Damian Lowe, Deshaun Brown left.
Lowe left. But I mean, we were not great that year. I mean, we ended up in the playoffs, but I don't think they were as big to the team then as Yoshitake was. And this is, you know, apples and oranges comparing the NASL team in 2012 to the USL team
and obviously
2 years ago.
He wasn't that instrumental if we won the championship.
He was the leading scorer when we sold him.
But it didn't matter. We still won the championship.
I know, because it was NASL. We didn't have to – we could manage to get by. We've obviously learned in the last year and a half that – You've got to have some backups. You got to have some other guys here to get you there when either, you know, there's dips in forms, there's injuries, there's whatever. Because we sure learned the hard way last year.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we lost creativity in Marcel, and we lost defense in when Neil shifted. And I think no matter how many players you brought in, you weren't going to be able to fill those gaps on the fly. Neil and Bill Edwards tried their damnedest, but it wasn't possible. And I think we have a pretty solid core here now and have built around that. So let's see how it goes.
All right. So anything else we need to say about players or rosters or anything? Have you started putting together some formations in your head?
I've been scratching them out, seeing if there's anything I actually like, but I haven't settled on anything yet.
I know Jeff that has done our match ratings from time to time and is headed up the St. Pete Scoundrels has threw a couple. I think he had a 4-3-3, and I think he had it's either a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. Throwing some ideas out there, so check around. There's some interesting lineups that can be made out of this what's on the roster now, and I think that, like you said, there's probably still a few more signings to come. So let's move on to the other big bit of news that dropped since the last show was the complete preseason schedule. Let's see, what 8 games, and possibly a 9th one. I got to look at something and see if it. If I'm just misreading the headline. But the first game was 5 days ago already against Birmingham Legion FC. I guess this would be as good a time as any to clear this up. There was a little imbroglio, a little contretemps, a little middle school pushing match on Twitter last week. Over the state of our humorous take on Birmingham as our rival, partially because our good friend Kevin, you know, Kevin Marine, Kevin's a drill instructor. Kevin kind of goes full speed all the time. Kevin like made Birmingham his new Cincinnati in less than a week. And if you know Kevin in Cincinnati on Twitter, you know exactly what that means. But there was a little misunderstanding about what was going on. And I think we sorted it all out, finally. The silliness.
Yeah.
So we're all good. That being said, let me tell you why Birmingham sucks and Birmingham can go to hell. Because... in one of the contentions was, well, we haven't even played a game yet. It's not a rival. Okay, fine. We played them on February 2nd. We put them to the sword by a brutal score of 1-0 with a Brandon Allen goal. Didn't even have his name on the back of his jersey, but he was able to slay the entire town of Birmingham. You suck. You're not going to win a game this year. So now we can officially, totally jokingly declare it a rivalry. That one's over. I'm just stirring up more stuff, aren't I?
I mean, screw them.
Another game coming up in 2 days versus UCF. another closed door one, February 13th versus Orlando City B, closed door. February 16th, DC United at Al Lang Stadium. DC United right now playing in Bradenton against FC Cincinnati. And looks like Cincinnati just tied it up in the 81st minute. All right. 20th against Montreal Impact. And then they're going to go on a little road trip to Statesboro, Georgia. To play South Georgia Tormenta, Alex Morel's new club in league with the that's League One, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And then playing Georgia Southern University, also located in Statesboro, Georgia, and then finishing up here on March 2nd, playing USF at the USF the Corbett Stadium Soccer Stadium in Tampa at 7 p.m.
What date was that?
March 2nd. Okay. It's a Saturday. It's my my wife's birthday, but she'll be out of town and I won't be, so I will I'll be up there. There's a I meant to throw this out there. When you're talking about teams adapting and teams having a plan B and teams playing differently, have you did you watch either of the I know it's not must see TV for you, but have you watched either of the two US men's friendlies under Greg Berhalter?
No, I haven't. I forgot why I haven't. I wanted to watch them because I am a big fan of Berhalter and his tactics and his read of the game. And also, I'm trying to get back on the bandwagon with a new manager and a lot of youth coming up through the system. But I didn't watch these two yet. Well, I haven't watched these two. And if I'm around a television, I'll watch the next one when that comes up.
The next one's going to be an important one. Actually, the next one's in Orlando. You might want to go to it.
Possibly, I don't know.
It's a Thursday evening. I'm not sure if I'm going. I'm definitely going to the U.S. Women's friendly. I mean, not the friendly. The She Believes Cup game against Brazil in Tampa, that probably means I won't be able to go to Orlando. But we'll see. Things could happen. And you know, the next one is important because it's the first time he has the full international pool of players available to him. Like these first two games, there's no Pulisic, there's no McKinney, there's no, Brooks. There's no none of these guys that are playing overseas right now. It was mostly like youth team, kind of like B and C level players, somewhat like Christian Ramirez got in and got a goal. But it's interesting to watch for the tactics. I mean, they played competition that you kind of expected that they would still beat, even with a new manager and a lot of younger players. Didn't score a first half goal in either game, but kind of broke big in the second half in both, three goals in the first one, two in the second. But it's interesting to watch how like people were saying like they're following along with like either, you know, on an app or a website somewhere with the formations, and what it was being said to be was constantly changing because of how he was having certain players play, and he's got some interesting tactics. You should, if for nothing else, like just look through it with that eye to see what's going on. You might be able to find one of them was on the second one was Fox Sports. At least you might be able to go back and find that on their like website or something and call it up. It's interesting to watch. You know, we talked about how the process was kind of weird. I still think he's going to end up being the right guy, or he's going to do a good job at least. And we'll see what happens.
I know there's a video on the MLS site recently of him and Matthew Doyle breaking down some of his tactics from his Columbus days. And it's just listening to him talk, it is better than I've heard from an American coach in a very long time. Also, following along on Twitter, I think somebody said that Berhalter's strength is the way he utilizes his outside backs in a way that masks their weakness but allows them to play their strengths is something that this U.S. team has needed for years, because that's been one of our noticeably weaker areas. And that's one of his strengths, is like one of the positive parts of the Berhalter era so far. So I'm interested to see how it looks and to see what he does. I'm also very interested to see what he does with a full-strength U.S. roster.
I know that's part of that. That's got part of me tempted to try and make the arrangements and go. I don't know. We'll see. I'll see if I can pull it off. All right. So, the preseason ones. March 2nd is another U.S. friendly because I know it's from like 3:30 to. Actually, March 2nd is the next one because the ones after that, but I don't think he has the international players on March 2nd. I'm not sure. I know the one that's in Orlando is he has they're playing Ecuador and they've got the full international roster open at that point. You ever been to Statesboro, Georgia, by the way?
No.
I'm just looking at this because other than the Al Lang games, they don't mention that being closed door. And I'm checking my calendar and I have nothing going on that weekend, which is incredibly rare. I went to Statesboro probably 20 something years ago. Like it was USF's like third or fourth season playing college football. I know exactly when it was. It was 1998. There's a weird reason why I know that, but I remember that. Statesboro is an interesting place. Like you met my friend Chris, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, Chris is a little, he's an Italian guy from the Bronx, but even though he lived primarily most of his life in South Florida, me and him and another friend, we were going to go to the game. We crossed the border into Georgia on 75. We stopped at there's like that rest station that's right there. As soon as you cross the border, we stopped there and there's two cops out there in Statesboro PD jackets. So we were like, oh man, we must be pretty close. Well, Chris goes up to him and is just asking, kind of how far away we are. And if you really want to see something funny, you got to look at the looks on the faces of two down-home good old boy Georgia police when an Italian kid from the Bronx who's grew up in South Florida comes up and starts talking to him. They were just like, it was exactly the, you're not from around here, but just in a facial expression. It was fantastic. And then it turned out we were still like 3 hours from Statesboro. You have to take all these weird little back roads to get there. Went there, USF lost the game, but that's the first time I went to Sonic way back when. And the other thing I'm trying to find out before I decide if I'm going is whether or not it's still a dry county. We attended a fraternity party up there where we were constantly having to make runs to the county line to restock the liquor supply. Chris was introducing them to like Miami rap from like the early 90s, which had not made its way to Statesboro yet. It was a very interesting evening. I'll just put it that way.
And you're willing to drive all the way up there for a scrimmage?
It's two games, man. We could see Alex Morrell again.
I mean, did we ever really see Alex Morrell here?
That one time, that one kick. The picture has been immortalized.
Oh yeah, that one little scorpion.
That one, yeah. I'd be interested to see how much the place has changed, if any, in 20 something years, or I guess 21 years. Now, the reason I remember it is because it was the year that Tennessee beat Florida State in the national championship for college football. They went undefeated, and Tennessee played Arkansas that night, and the quarterback, like Arkansas's leading right up to the very end, and the quarterback literally just drops the ball on the ground for a second, and that turns the whole game. And I remember watching that at like some guy's house in Georgia. It was fantastic. But anyway, this is a soccer podcast, and only a soccer podcast. You're going to be at the DC United game, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. If we work out some way to get scarves to you by then you'll have some there. I can give you a list of names of people who've pre-ordered or whatnot. But if not, I'll have them with me the next go-around at the Montreal Impact game. I like that they're going like away as much as a trip to Statesboro is away, although I will say having traveled those back roads, it really feels like away. You know, they've done the overseas trips with England and Portugal before. But it's good for them, I think, to get away, especially you have so many teams that come down here for preseason and it's easy to probably schedule games. But to go away at least for a few days, because I'm guessing they're at least they'll leave on the 21st and then come back like 25th. Like, it's a couple days, but that's team bonding time. Like, you know, you're away from your family, you're away from your friends. There probably won't be a ton of stuff on social media from the players. Like, it's just good. You know, you're on a bus, you're in hotels or a dorm or something. Like, I don't know. I think that's maybe that's helped build some of the stuff that may have been missing the last few years.
Yeah, I definitely think, and I feel like that Neil would be kind of big on team chemistry. He was kind of known as the jokester and a big part of that in the locker room as a player. So I'm assuming he probably will be all for it as a manager as well.
The other thing I like is I like that it's a little bit longer preseason, a bigger number of games, even if you're having some against like college competition, more than one. Although I saw like Stetson University posted that they were going to be playing Orlando and Tampa Bay in the preseason. So that's not on the list here. I need to go check that article and see what they've got posted on there, what the full details are. But there might even be like a ninth preseason game. And I'm sure there might be some closed door like scrimmages that are unannounced. But, you know, I remember, I don't know if it was last year or year before, we just kind of felt like it was a really short preseason. Not necessarily in the fact of, you know, us getting to go to Al Lang and watch games, but just in terms of getting these guys match ready and getting them ready to go and fit for the season. So I think it'll do them good.
Yeah, I mean, the one year we actually put in a real preseason, we made the playoffs. Imagine what we can do with younger players and an extended preseason.
Yeah, it was last year with the really small preseason, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year was a joke.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of right up against our time. We managed to throw in our insults to Birmingham. Screw you guys. Although I guess they played somebody else. I don't know if it was here in Orlando or maybe up in Tampa, Orlando. And Eric Avila had a nice goal. Sent it in, like, kissed the bottom of the crossbar and then went in. And glad to see him back and playing again, too.
It was in Clearwater, I believe, when they played the Union.
Oh, yeah, yeah, over there, like, where the Union plays. Where they do, like, what, the DiMaggio Complex or something?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Anything else? Or are we ready to wrap it up?
No, I think we're good. Let's end it.
All right, we love yous. I'm going to let you handle the requested one. I have a second one I'm going
to
do.
It obviously goes to our favorite Marine, Kevin. Give him hell.
Kevin's Kevin. You, Birmingham, you'll get used to him. I'm going to throw mine out there. We mentioned this online, and if you listen to us, you might also be listening to the Total Soccer Show. It's one of my, like, I don't know, I've got three or four other ones that I've been listening to lately, like just general soccer-related podcasts. And one of their co-hosts, a guy named Daryl Grove, is originally from England. Now they live in Richmond, Virginia, where the show is done daily. And like in the last year or two, they you know, decided to basically quit their day jobs and do this on a daily basis. One of the shows, where I guess he was out for a week, and they do it like 5 days a week, so it was kind of weird not hearing him. And then they announced, I literally got in my car. I was driving home and listening to this. And like, I've never met these guys. I've never seen them. I've, you know, interacted on Twitter a couple times, but they're just like, they have a really good show. It might be my favorite soccer podcast, but he and Daryl and his wife were in Florida somewhere. And I'm going to assume it was in the Tampa area because he ended up hanging out with George Qureshi to watch the first Berhalter game. But he had some stomach pains, went to the hospital and he got checked out, and turned out he had stage 4 cancer in his, I think it's his liver or intestines. So he's being treated and, you know, sounds good and outlook's optimistic and all that. And a friend put together for them a GoFundMe just to, you know, put some money aside for assorted expenses. Like, he's got insurance. He's, you know, they've, you know, got what, I guess, the basics of what they need. And it, like, the first goal was like 10,000. Well, they hit that in like 2 or 3 hours. They upped it to 40,000. That was done by the first day. The current goal right now, I think, is up to 100,000, and they're at like, well, like 85 or 86, but I put online that we were going to donate this month's Patreon fund, and I'm sure and I hope that our patrons were okay with that. Because like that, they've always kind of like, I always listen to them and try and get some like inspiration for things to do or things to say on the show or things to look at. So I put it out there. If you can go online, it's GoFundMe, and I'll put it in the show notes too. GoFundMe.com/team-Daryl, 1R, 1Y, 1L, dash Grove. And if you can, donate, even if you can't, just to retweet and put it out there. Soccer Twitter can be a dirty hellscape from time to time, or maybe more often than not. But seeing everybody come together for something like this, mostly for a guy that none of them have met, is kind of a cool thing, and I appreciate that.
The internet can have a positive impact.
It's really weird
sometimes, but you never know. I mean, I'm sure there's some troll out there ruining everything.
I'm not going to make the joke about that Islanders tweet you just retweeted.
Yeah, Cal Clutterbuck.
Because no Clutterbuck is a cluster. Never mind. So that's my my We Love You, and my go check that out. Also, Rays Fan Fest is this weekend, and I wasn't going to mention it any other reason than all they posted today. Like they're having a charity yard sale of like just merchandise, but they're also going to have a couple racks of rowdy stuff out there. Some of that stuff was like, I saw some Matt Pickens Fear the Beard shirts and stuff in there. But it looked like there may have been some new stuff in there too. New pennants, maybe new scarves as well too. So if you're going there, it's free. You have to have a ticket anyway, but it's a free ticket. Just go online and they can show you how to get that. Check that out. You might be able to get your hands on some new Rowdy's merchandise. Is that crossing the streams too much for you though, Dan?
No, selling the merch is fine. But that we can talk about this on another podcast. It's already after 9.
You just don't want the Rowdy's merch and the Rays merch to touch, right?
Yeah, don't let it touch.
All right, let's wrap it up here. We will be back next week with probably a lot fewer players to talk about, but hopefully some news as well. Thank you to Wolfface and to Radio St. Pete. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. You can support us on Patreon if on an ongoing basis if you'd like at patreon.com/theunusedsubspod. Throw us a rating and review. Lie if it'll help you put a good one up there. We appreciate it. Wherever you listen to this, we'll talk to you guys next week. Stay fresh, cheese bags.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Did you see that? Have you seen that online though?
Yes.
Okay, I just popped in my head for a second. So I've actually started saying some of my classes just for fun.
I'm going to play the music now.
All right, you play the music.